Please turn with me here this morning to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're continuing our series on what it means to be born again. We have dealt with it over these past few weeks, and we want to continue this morning from John chapter 3. I believe there's a great ignorance in the church of our generation what it means to be born again. Everybody talks about it. 10 years ago, people on the streets of Limerick, born again, what do you mean? I assure you, a whole lot more people in Limerick know what it means to be born again than they did 10 years ago. You know why? They've met a born again man or woman. They have watched people changed by the power of God. So they have more of an idea. But we want to understand this thing that's called born again. Reading from John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master or a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Let's pray together. Father, we pray again. We bow our hearts, we bow our heads, and we bow the knee unto you, even as we gather unto your word. We are so easily distracted. We're so prone not to hear the word, the counsel, and the commands of our heavenly Father who loves us and who saved us and who sent his son to die on that old rugged tree at Calvary. My God, what a love you have for us, and how should we listen to our heavenly Father who created all things, who knows all things, nor God who knew us when we were in our mother's womb. My God, help us to hear what the Spirit of God saith unto the churches. My God, I am asking, nor God, like Nicodemus of old, that you speak to hearts in this room, even as you said to that man 2,000 years ago, ye must be born again. I pray again that Christ, the living Christ, the one who walks in the midst of the candlesticks, will be in this room, speak in the hearts, and Lord God, those who are born again, to revive them, to stir them, to awaken them, to bring them back to this new creation, this born again experience, this miracle that was brought about by the blowing of the Holy Spirit. We love you this morning, and we do want ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive and to understand. My God, give us a heart that we might hear you. Give us a heart, give us a love for truth in this room. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God for his word this morning. My message, this fourth message in this series, a new creation, a new creation. We have dealt with being born of the Spirit, born of the Word of God, and that ye must be born again. But here in this message, I want to deal with a new creature, a new creature. Look again with me in John chapter 3 verse 6. And it says there, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You'll remember in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus was a religious teacher to the entire nation. He was a man of great prestige, reputation. He was a very moral man. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a fornicator. He wasn't an idolater. He was actually a man who believed the written scriptures for many years. I believe he was an old man, a white-haired man. For decades he'd studied the Bible from a little boy. He was a man who knew what the Bible said. He was a man, he wasn't an atheist. He was a man who believed there's a God, a creator in heaven. He believed in a judgment day, an eternal heaven, an eternal hell. He believed in all of these things. And here he is, he knew that Christ was the Messiah. He knew that God was with Christ, that he was a miracle worker, and that he had the answer in his teaching. He had no doubt about these things. In his heart, he actually felt a drawing towards this one called Christ, the Son of God. He felt his spirit being drawn. He felt something within him. When he heard the teaching of God's word, it affected him. He couldn't just go about with mere religion. He said, there has to be more. Now, I've been a religious man, a good man, a moral man. I do believe in God, but I do believe there's something more. You see, that's when God is working in a life. I tell you, when you hear the word of God preach, you said, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I desire more. I don't care if you walk with God 50 years. When you hear the word of God preach, you say, oh God, I want more. I want more of you. I want more of your word. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I don't want to stay where I am. If you're satisfied, if you're sitting here and say, I'm fine, I'm okay, you're in the most desperate position in this room. I'm not satisfied. I want more of God. I don't want to stay the same. I want to know this great God who created all things. And if your heart isn't moved, I assure you, you are in a desperate condition here in this room this morning. But this man Nicodemus, he was a seeker after reality. You know what? I assure you, he wasn't born again yet. In all of John 3, he isn't born again. By the end of John 3, he isn't born again, as far as I know. But I assure you, here is a man who's saying, I do know that you have something that I need to know. And this man was told, ye must be born again. That word must is a powerful word. There is no other way. There isn't any second option. There's no other way to get in the kingdom of God. There's no other way to be right with God. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you're going to perish and die in your sin. And that's why Jesus said, listen to me, Nicodemus, I know you're a good man. I know you're a Bible believer. I know that you read the Bible diligently. I know you're trying to be moral and good. I know you're a man that watches over your conscience, and praise God for that. But you know what? You must be born again. You know all that you have, all your religion, all your morality, all your knowledge, it's not good enough to get into the kingdom of God. You're actually locked out. All of your goodness, all of your sincere desire, all of your righteousness, and you're still outside the kingdom of God. You believe in God, you desire God, and yet you're outside. That's what Christ was saying. Nicodemus, you're still outside the kingdom of God. You can't even see or understand the kingdom of God. And that's why he said to this good man, be a good man as far as this world concerned. You know what? There's sinners out there, and I would say they're nice people. They're very moral people. You know what? There's some Christians I wouldn't buy a car off. I did it once, 7 weeks after banning them, on my way to Shannon Airport, and the engine blows up. Well, I went, that man, that Christian businessman, if I ever get my hands on him, you know what? He had a reputation as well. He had a reputation, I can assure you. Never buy a car from that man. But I have met sinners in this city who, I can assure you, I'd buy the car and I'd go, it'll go. They won't dishonor me. You know why? They're honest men. They're sincere men. They have a certain type of morality. But I assure you, all of that, you're still outside the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? You must be born again. You need a second birth. You need to be born from above. You need to be born of the Word of God. You need an actual experience, a second birth like your first birth. You need a radical change of everything you are. Your religion isn't good enough. Your morality isn't good enough. Your sincerity. You're a nice man, Nicodemus, but that'll never get you in the kingdom of God. You have to be. There's no other answer. Do you know when he begins speaking to him? And saying, but how can this be? Jesus just comes back and says, Nicodemus, listen to me. A second time, you must be born again. What are you talking about, Master? Can I go back in my mother's womb? Listen to me. You must be born of water and the Spirit. There is no other way. Now note with me in verse 6 what Christ then goes on to say. Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice here with me there's two births. There's a birth of the flesh and a birth of the Spirit. There's two births that Jesus speaks about here. And he says, that which is born of the flesh, it's only flesh. That experience of being born of the flesh, what does he mean? Your natural physical birth. All of you in this room experienced it. It's when you were born of your mommy and daddy. It's when you come out of the womb. That was your fleshly birth. You were born of the flesh. That is the first birth that all of us go through. And Jesus here is saying, everything that comes out of that first birth, everything that comes out of it, all the religion, all the sincerity, all the good deeds, if you're still in the flesh, if you've never had that second birth, do you know all of your goodness is still flesh? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all it actually produces. Jesus here is speaking about the physical birth, the human birth, the natural birth. And everything that comes out of that human birth, your heart, your thoughts, your desires, your ambitions, your dreams, all of your efforts, all of your religion. Anything of religion that comes out of that natural birth. Do you know what it's called by Christ? He said it's flesh. No, but I'm a good man. It's flesh. Oh, but I'm very sincere. But it's out of your flesh. Yeah. It's wonderful that you're sincere and a nice man or a nice woman. But you know, the best that flesh can produce is a flesh. Do you know what someone who isn't saved, do you know they become proud about their humility? Do you realize how humble I am? Or if you meet them and they're a very moral or religious person, do you know how religious I am? Do you know how good and loving I am? Do you know how many people I try to reach out to in the street? Do you know that I give a few euros to someone on the street corner? Do you realize I'm a good person? And I've met religious people like this, and all I see is their flesh is trying to tell me, I'm good, I'm moral, I'm righteous, oh, I must be a good person. Yeah. Do you know what Jesus said? It's flesh. Yeah. It is stinking, rotten flesh. And it's not until you have an experience with God, you realize that underneath all of your humility, you pull back the cover and you go, man, you're proud of your humility. Or you pull back all of your righteousness and Christ says, it's rotten. It's stinking. All of your righteousness. See the righteousness of the flesh. The Bible says, all of your righteousness, all of your goodness and religiosity, he says, it is rejected.
That's right.
He actually says it's like a filthy rag. Yeah. That's all it is. Now how can he say, how can something good be filthy? If it comes out of the flesh, it is. If it comes out of that old nature, that old Adamic fallen nature, and that's what we're all born with. We're born in humanity. We all have the same human birth. Some of us can be more evil than others. Some of us are rather nice, perfumed, cleaned up. We'll put a collar on us. We'll look like a real saint. But I assure you, Jesus is saying anything that comes out of that flesh. Nicodemus was one of the, and listen to this, best specimens of a man in the flesh. He was one of the best men that you could find outside of Christ. I mean, Nicodemus was the best, religious, moral, sincere. He was a good man. I tell you, he made a good husband. He made a good father. He would make a good son. He would make a good brother. I tell you, this man, you'd say, my brother is the best brother you'll ever meet. My father is the best man you'll ever meet. My son is the best man you'll ever meet. This is the sort of man Nicodemus was. And yet when he comes face to face with Christ, Christ says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Do you realize this is your natural birth? This is all the efforts of years of you trying to be good, and still you're outside the kingdom of God. And if you should die this night, Nicodemus, you'll be lost eternally. I'm glad for all your morality. You see, Jesus is dealing here that there's nothing spiritual about the flesh. The flesh can't be accepted by God. The flesh cannot believe God. The flesh cannot do anything that is honorable before God. The flesh is utterly condemned. That's why the Bible says the flesh of man, that old nature, your old life, the life you're born with, it's got to be crucified with Jesus on the cross. There's nothing nice about it. Oh, I used to be a good person growing up. Did you? What, like Nicodemus? Oh, I used to really seek after the Lord. Did you really? Or were you like Nicodemus? You see, the Bible says none is good, none is righteous, none seeks after God, none fears God. You know what it says? You were born a sinner. Now, Jackie told me just the other night, those Mormons in her neighbor's house and saying they denied that they were born sinners. I want to assure you they must have been some sort of child, as a little child. You let me round any of these children, let them hang about here 2 hours. I'll assure you they're sinners, they're born sinners. You don't need to teach them how to sin. It's within their nature. They were born that way. You see, Jesus said, whatsoever is born of the flesh, whatever comes out of that physical birth, it's only flesh at the best of it. The Bible does use that word flesh to mean also a nature that we are born with. A temperament, a character, a disposition within us. We actually realize that when we are born within us, there is that tendency and nature that lies, that is fearful, that gets angry, that's jealous, that's proud, that lusts after the opposite sex, or the same sex in this hour. That has a natural tendency to religion. Now all of this is in the flesh. Yeah. Do you realize the flesh can be very religious?
Yes.
Some religious people are worse than any sinner. I would rather have some drug addicts or heroin users on this street than I would some Christian, so-called born-again Christians I meet. You know why? Not born-again person. They say, oh, I'm born-again. I said a prayer. Man, your nature is rotten. I met some born-again Christians. They're angry, they're bitter, they're liars, they're envious, they're manipulators. I look at them and I go, man, you were never changed. Oh, I'm born again. Of what spirit?
Yeah.
Of what spirit? When were you changed? I tell you, everything I see is the old fleshly nature. That's all I actually see. This natural human nature is called the flesh. In Romans 7 we read about it, and again in Galatians 5. It's not necessarily evil. Don't think the flesh, oh, he's good and he's evil. No, you can have a good man like Nicodemus. It's flesh. Nicodemus, what you're saying is a man born of the flesh, and everything that flesh produced. He is not truly spiritual. He is natural, but he's not necessarily evil. He could be a moral man, a religious man like Saul of Tarsus. That is the first birth, born of the flesh. But Jesus also in verse 6, he says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He speaks of a second birth here. It's different than being born of the flesh. It is a second birth that you experience later in life. You don't get it from your mommy's milk. You weren't born a Christian. That's impossible. You didn't come out of the womb saying, oh, I'm trusting Jesus in his blood. I'm repenting my sin. You were born as a sinner. Now, a baby that's born is innocent. They won't go to hell if they die. It doesn't matter if you're a drug user and your child dies. That child goes straight into the presence of God. It is innocent. Absolutely innocent. But I assure you, when it gets to an age of understanding and that consciousness of sin comes and that awareness of its own condition, Jesus said there needs to be a second birth. You must be born of the Spirit. What is he saying? Something has to be birthed within you of the Holy Spirit. Your natural fleshly life isn't enough. Your religion isn't enough. What you've grown up with isn't enough. Your granny's religion won't help you. Your mommy's religion that you grew up with would say, I believe in God like my mommy did and my granny did. I assure you, that will not help you. That's your natural religion. But Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit has to birth within you. There's got to be a second birth. You had your fleshly birth, but there's got to be a second birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, or it is spiritual, or it is acceptable to God, or it can serve God and worship God and pray to God and believe God and walk with God and sing the songs of Zion. Only that is acceptable. All your religion out of the flesh, he says, I cannot tolerate it. But this born of the Spirit, there is a life birthed by the Spirit of God. Saints, this second born again experience, a new person is born when you're born again. When you get born again, when you believe in Christ as your Savior, a spiritual birth takes place within your life. Until now, your spirit was dead within you. And hear me, every sinner, their spirit is dead. It is dark. It doesn't see God. It doesn't feel God. And this is what Nicodemus was. He was nothing but flesh. He was born of the flesh. All his religion and morality was flesh. And you know what? Flesh doesn't get into heaven. No way. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God. You have no inheritance. Flesh and blood doesn't give you anything. You need another birth. You need the Holy Spirit to birth a new creature actually within you. Now look at this. There is a second birth that creates a new man actually within you. And now a warfare begins. Now you're born of the flesh and a second birth, you're born of the Spirit. Most men are only born of the flesh. You know, I meet them, they're very religious. I went and confessed today, then I went out and got drunk. You know, I'm a good moral man. I try my best. And why are you blaspheming? I met a town mayor once, further down near Cork. I was out walking near the sea, and we began to talk, an older man, retired, and we began to talk, and as soon as I said I was a Christian, he said, oh, I am too. Yes, I believe in God. I'm very moral and upright. And I let him talk on a bit. 5 minutes more, I said, why do you keep blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ? He said, I don't. I said, you do. And he said, bleep, bleep, bleep. I didn't. I said, you did. And I said, do you know what? That just shows what you are. You don't even know. You're blaspheming. You're cursing. You're taking my God's name in vain. You don't even realize what you are. You see, that man isn't fighting himself. There's no conflict within him. He loves his sin and he loves his religion. And his religion and his worldly life of drinking and immorality and cursing, his religion doesn't cause any conflict. It's all over this island. It fills this city. Show me a religious person. Their religion never gets in the way of their worldly lifestyle. Now, well, I went to Mass early this morning. Brilliant. Where are you going now? Well, it's Sunday afternoon. I'm going to the rugby match. Can't let church get in the way of that. In fact, I went last night. so it wouldn't interfere with my Sunday. Think we're going to the beach. It's going to be a sunny Sunday. So we'll get Mass out of the way on Saturday night. And it means we've got Sunday free. And we can go out there on the beach and just relax. After all, that's what God wants, isn't it? He wants you to enjoy yourself. What am I telling you? That is a man born of the flesh. But he's never had a second birth. You know what Jesus says? This man, when he's born a second time, you do have a problem now. Because you know what? If you're born again in this room, you've been born of the flesh. And that hasn't disappeared. But now you're born of the Spirit. You have two creations here. Paul writing in Romans 7 verse 18, he says, "For I know," and this is a born again preacher, he says, "For I know that in me," in me, that is in my flesh, he qualified the statement, "dwelleth no good thing." He said, there's no good thing in me. But let me explain. In my flesh, it doesn't mean there's no good thing in me. It's just in my flesh, there's nothing good. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I cannot find it. But a few verses later, this is what he says. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward heart." Look at this man. In his heart, he says, "I love the word of God. I delight in the word of God. I desire God with all my heart." My heart, the word of God is written on it. My whole tendency is, I want to obey God. But yet in my flesh, in that old first birth, see that old life? I tell you, there's nothing good in it. And here's Paul saying, I've got a heart that only wants to do good. And I've got a flesh life that only wants to do bad. And there is a warfare going on in me. That is a born again Christian. Don't think you're going to get born again and the warfare's over. Oh no. Oh no. I tell you, on the day you get born again, after you hit the earth again, after jumping into the air and going, I've never felt such purity, our cleansing, our forgiveness, or such reality, or such power. Just a wee bit down the road, you're going to go, who's this? This is your flesh. That old life is going to come knocking, and we're going to have one of the mightiest battles you've ever had in your old life. Here he comes with a bottle in his hand. Here he comes cursing. You're going, who are you? I'm you. No, you're not. There's going to be an almighty fight. I tell you, it could be in the middle of the night or early in the morning or walking down the road. And you're going to go, man, who is this? And he goes, I am you. No, you're not. You're crucified. I thought you're dead. No, I come knocking again. Saints, there is a mighty warfare between the first birth and the second birth. Between the old nature and the new nature. The old man and the new man. There is a warfare for dominance of that life. I'm telling you about a new Christian, a born again man. I tell you, he's a man who's at war against the flesh. See that old original birth? He's against the religion of it. He says, it's now by the Spirit. But saints, thank God, when a man's born again, everything that comes out of that new spirit, that new man, it is spiritual. Absolutely everything. Paul writing in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. It's talking about the fight of a Christian who has been born again. Let me state three things here. I want to give you, before we close, three things about a man who's born again. We're dealing with a new creature, a new man, someone who's been born again. We're talking about the new birth, the new birth. First of all, a new beginning. A new beginning. We think of a new beginning when we get born again. I come to Christ, He forgave me. He forgave all of my sins. All of my transgression. I can begin anew. I start anew. I'm born again today. And all my past is forgiven. We think of that as a new beginning. But I'm not talking about that. We know that. You're forgiven on the day that you get saved. But let me tell you about another new beginning. When a man is born of the Spirit, the first and greatest mark is a new beginning. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. And if you're going to learn a scripture, learn this one. If you're going to memorize a scripture, memorize this one. If you're going to write a scripture and put it on your fridge, put this one on there. Listen to what it says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Notice here he talks about a new creature. That's our message this morning. A new creature. What is a new creature? It's a whole new creation. Something that wasn't there before. Paul writing in Galatians 6:15, he speaks about a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, he talks about the inward man. In Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, he speaks about the new man. In Ephesians 2, he says that we are created in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 4, he says that we are new men, created by God unto righteousness and true holiness. What is this? This new creature is a new beginning. And the Bible clearly teaches that if any man, listen this carefully, if any man is in Christ, what is the great mark of being in Christ or being born again? Or being brought into a place where all of the blessings are yours. What's the great mark? He is a new creature. All men are not in Christ. They're not. Oh, we're all the children of God. No, we're not.
Yes.
No, we're not. You need to be born again to be God's child. Oh, but we all just serve God in our own way. No, we do not.
Right.
Most of religion comes out of Nicodemus. The Adamic nature. I'm a moral person. I love everybody. Okay, let me alone with you for an hour. I'll see if you love me after I preach to you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of religious people that tell me, we're of that religion. We love everybody. We believe in tolerance. We believe in accepting everybody. Yes, apart from the preacher who preaches you must be born again. You see them get angry. Their hackles get up. Go, who are you to tell me? Well, you're telling me you love everybody. You represent tolerance, love, grace, everything else. I'm just telling you what I believe here. But you see a reaction. The Bible says, if any man, what a big if. If any man is in Christ, how are you going to know? Not in church, didn't say you're in church, or in mass, or in confessional, or you try to be religious. It's saying, are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, do you know what the great mark of it is? You're a new creature. If you tell me you're born again, that Jesus lives in you, that all the promises, I'm justified, I'm made righteous, all my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven. I tell you, God blesses me, God answers all my prayers. I have all blessings in Christ. I am in Jesus and everything is mine in Him. Really? Okay, let's look for the mark. Are you a new creature? Have you had a spiritual experience that within your life a new person was created? I'm not saying everyone is under the blood. Oh, it's under the blood. Don't mention my sins. Where is the new creature? Where is the person in you fighting to get out saying, I want to pray, I want to obey God, I want to worship Him, I desire to give my entire life to Him. If that isn't there, then you're dead in your sin. You're either dead or alive. If there's nothing living in there, if there's no desire to say, I want to worship you, you're dead in your sin. You're either dead or alive. Do you know, I may not be a very discerning man, but I can tell a dead man from a live man.
Yeah.
Heard a preacher once say that someone had died on the Sunday night meeting and they called the paramedics. They carried half the church out before they found the man. Had to go through an awful lot of people sitting in that traditional church before they found the real dead one. We need to put all these people back in there. You know what? They're so lifeless. And I'm telling you, in the church, there's a lot of people. They don't love God. They don't desire God. There's no mark of life. Saints, the great mark of being in Christ, being born again, is a new creature, birthed by the Holy Spirit. You didn't do it. You don't create this. It is a creation. This experience of a new creature. There's a time when you're put in Christ and you're made a new creature. There is something burst within you, created within you that wasn't there before. It's called a new creature or a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Many claim to be in Christ, but I don't see a new nature. I don't see a new desire. I don't see a deep longing for God. All you are is of the first birth. You've never been born again. It also goes on to say, old things have passed away. This is how you know a man is in Christ. He's a new creature. Something has been, I mean on day one. Not talking about 10 years down the road. The first day, he is doing things. You know my granny, the first day, she sat up in bed and shouted, "Hallelujah!" Never done that before. Never done that before. I tell you, that lady was filled with pride and religion. She went to church just shortly before that. She got a new set of clothes. No desire to go to the meetings. No desire. But she got a new dress. And she thought, where can I wear it? There's no special event. I'll go to church Sunday morning. And she went to church just to wear her new clothes. And as she went in there, she's sitting and someone began to prophesy. God doesn't look at the outward appearance of man, but he looks at the heart. And suddenly the Holy Spirit convicted her and cut her to the heart. First time she ever got convicted of sin for wearing her beautiful new dress. The Holy Spirit began to go, man, your heart's rotten. And you've got pride and arrogance and selfishness. And you care about the outward. I care about the heart of man. You see, the new creature. And he says, how do you know you're in Christ? Old things have passed away. Old things. Can I ask you, have your old things of the first birth, have they passed away? What are old things? The word means original. What you had from the very beginning, what you were born with, those things that you grew up with that were always there from your first mother's birth, have they passed away? And actually mean things that were once very close to you, do they now go past you and it doesn't bother you? Where you used to love the old bottle and the old drink, can you walk into a pub and go, hey, it's nothing in here for me? The old things you used to do, you got angry about. And you go, man, I could care less about that now. All of those things, he's saying the mark that you're being born again, old things have passed away. They don't mean the same to you. You've been born of God. It's a miracle of God. It's not that you do this. You find yourself changed. You actually wake up and you realize the wind blew on me. And you know what? I'm a new creature. And I can remember when Jeffrey came in that first time. He says, man, he says, I've never looked at the moon in my entire life. I was just out drinking and fighting and all the rest. And he says, man, I went home and I looked and the grass is different and the trees are different and the moon is different. Isn't the moon beautiful, Brother Keith? Well, it is. It is. Well, what's happened? Man, a new creature even notices the moon is standing there staring. Be careful, people think you're strange. You're going, man, I can see God in all creation. God created this. You weren't talking like that a few weeks ago. We're not talking like that. You see, a new creature, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Your will, your mind, your heart, your motives, how you talk, how you look at things, how you think. Oh, I know there's a battle, remember. I know there's an old fleshlight. I know there's a warfare when you're born again. You're not sinlessly perfect. The flesh doesn't lie over and say, well, you carry on, I'm just going to lie here. Oh no, he's going to fight. You know John Bunyan, right in Pilgrim's Progress, here come old Adam, and said he nipped him. Do you know what it's like to get your calf muscles nipped? You ever had that, or your thigh? Someone come up and give you a donkey nip. I'm telling you, you'll feel it for half the day. It does feel like a donkey. Let me nip you in the right place. I tell you, you'll remember it for the rest of the day. It'll feel like a donkey, all right. You know what old Adam does? He comes, he wrestles you to the ground. He's fighting with you. That is Adam. And that John Bunyan knew enough about that. Say, you need to make your way to the celestial city. But I tell you, old Adam's going to come running down. There's, wait on me. No, I'm running. I'm getting out of here. I've got a destination. Behold, all things have become new. This is a new creature, the new creation. A new person has been created or birthed within you. This is a born again experience. There's a new man on the inside. You know, at Speaker's Corner in London, and this is a true story. There was a man preaching, everyone will stand, a communist will stand up and speak, a preacher will. And it used to be hundreds of people gathered there. And there was a preacher preaching, and he's talking about God changing the heart, and Christ, you must be born again. That's what he was preaching. And the old communist, and he started interrupting them and shouting, he says, your Christianity, it's not worth anything. Communism will put a new suit on every man. That's what communism is. Your Christianity is dead morality. It says, but communism, we'll do good for everyone. The preacher shouted back and he says, real Christianity have put a new man in the suit. That's real. A new man. A new creature. You know, I've heard testimony all through the year. Problems in the marriage. A drunkard. Oh, the husband's an old drunkard going out to the bar. Comes in 11 o'clock at night drunk. Punches the wife, all the rest. The man gets born again. Everything changes. I tell you, you don't need anyone to tell you. This man has changed. He's not the same. He doesn't punch me anymore. He doesn't curse at me. He doesn't beat me up. Doesn't come in at 11 o'clock having spent all the money in booze. You know why? He's a new creature. He's born again. He has changed. You know, in the Welsh revival, those miners underground, they worked there 18 hours a day. And those little pit ponies, they cursed at them. BBB, moved down the track. Well, it moved. When revival came in 1904, all the miners got saved. They stopped cursing instantly. Yeah. They went back down the next day. They got saved that night in the meetings. The next morning, early in the morning, they go down to the mines. They go to their little donkey that they worked with for 5 years. Say, will you move down the track? Just stands there. Please, will you move? Not using curse words anymore. It just looks, goes, man, what language are you speaking? I've never heard you speak to me like that. This is a new creature. What do I mean? It's something that's been created by the Holy Spirit. Something has been birthed within you. A new start, a new birth, a new way of thinking, a new way of desiring, a new way to make decisions, a new way of speaking, a new way of living. That's what it is. You are a new creature, but secondly, a new spirit. It says in Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 19, what a promise, I will put within you a new spirit. That is a promise of God. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit puts a new spirit within you. Do you know the word spirit in the Bible means wind or breath? It's the same word used for our spirit that's used for the Holy Spirit. It's a wind or a breath. In Genesis chapter 2 and 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Do you know what God breathed into him was a spirit? It's breath. That's what the word means. A spirit is a breath. And he was made a living soul. That man, actually on that day, God had formed him. But you know what? He's dead without the spirit. There's no spirit in him. He's dead. He's lying there. God has formed him. He's got two eyes, two ears, a nose, a mouth. He's got two arms, two legs, 8 fingers, 2 thumbs. Etc. He's got all the parts. He looks like a functioning man, but there's no spirit in there. He is lifeless. He is dead. Now what the Bible says, when we're born again, we get a new spirit. Do you know Adam had a spirit that was alive under God? He could speak to God. He could see God. He could feel God. He could sense God. He knew God. He could smell God. He was alive unto God. And you know what? His soul was submitted. His feelings, his thoughts, his desires were submitted to this spiritual relationship. But remember what God said. On the day, if you ever eat that tree, you'll die. And the serpent came along and said, do you know what? God's lied to you. You can eat that fruit of the tree. You won't die. You'll be fine. God is scared that you will become wise like him. And Eve took of that fruit, ate of it. She died, not physically. She died spiritually. See her spirit within her. It died. The light went out. It became darkened. Adam and Eve's spirit died within them. Darkness came upon them. Their relationship with God was affected. They were no longer God conscious. They were self conscious and world conscious. Listen to what it said in Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of a man. What is a spirit? The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. What is the spirit of a man? It is the candle of the Lord. Think of a lamp. You know those old telly lamps? You had the lamp filled with oil and it burned to keep light in the room. Do you know what God says? The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. It's either out or it's let, one or the other. Listen to Psalm 18:28. For thou, and this is the psalmist David speaking to God. For thou will light my candle. He's speaking to God. Do you realize only God can light the candle? When the spirit within man is dead, he was born with a dead spirit. He's alive in his soul. He's alive in his body. He has been birthed of the flesh. But his spirit within him is dead. It's dark. But God says, I will light your candle. The Lord my God will enlighten your darkness. It's talking about the spirit of a man being regenerate or made alive. That's what God does. Until a man is born again, his spirit is dead to God. There's no light, there's no understanding. He is in spiritual darkness. You can believe in God and yet not know God. Yeah. Isn't that right? The night I got saved, I knew he's real. I know he's there. I know I need to know him. But I knew there's a separation between me and God. I knew all about him. I believed he was there. And just because you believe there's a God doesn't mean you're born again. You can believe in God and yet be dead in your sin. There's no light. It takes a miracle from God to make your spirit alive. And that's what happens on the day you're born again. Your spirit actually comes alive. God sets it alight. You begin to burn with a light. You begin to shine with a light. That's why when you meet a born again believer, you say, man, they're born again. Doesn't matter if they're quiet. Don't think because someone's got a quiet temperament, oh, man, they're not saved. How do you know? How do you know?
Right.
Mr. Loudy Box. I tell you, noise doesn't always mean life or light. You've got to be around someone. I tell you, I'll watch you. But light and life will be seen. You see, the lamp was created for a purpose. The lamp is the spirit of a man. But it's either dark or it's a light. But you do have one. All of you have a lamp in this room. But a lamp was created by God for a purpose. But until God lights your candle, you will never fulfill your purpose. You have a spirit within you that's meant to burn for God and shine a light. But either it's in darkness or it's burning with fire this morning. Either God has lit it supernaturally in the second birth, or else you're dead in your sin and you're sitting in darkness going, you're groping for him. You're like a blind man who walks into the wall and walks into that wall and walks into that wall. And you go, well, I know there's walls there. Well, brilliant. Your black eyes prove it. Man, you're all beaten up trying to find the direction through this building. Some people are beaten up trying to find God. Their candle has not been lit. You see, you were designed to give light, to be a carrier of a flame. And to bring warmth into a dark world. All of us were designed that way. Your spirit has been designed that way. But it's useless until it's on fire. You can be a dark candle in a dark room. You don't fulfill your purpose until you are actually lit. Once the candle is lit or the Spirit is made alive, suddenly you begin to find the purpose God has created you for. You find a sense of fulfillment. You begin to carry a light that can shine in darkness. Not always just by your words, by your very presence, you are an influence. You were created to burn, to carry a light, to shine in a dark world, and to bring warmth into a cold environment. The lamp gives itself over to this task. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? Ye are the light of the world. Speaking to his disciples. Ye are the light. The lamp. You're the lamp. Are the light of the world. He said a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel. You don't do that. And saints, I know we use electric, but you know what? You don't turn the switch on your wall. You don't switch all the lights on in your house and then cover them with something where the light can't get out. You don't do that. Why do you switch the light on? Because you want to see. And that's what Jesus is saying. You don't take a candle or a lamp and then stick it under your bed. Or put a big bushel over and say, oh, God's done a miracle. He's made me alive. Now I'm going to put a big bush over it that nobody can see it. You need to realize I'm just a secret Christian. Hey, Christianity is private. It's my business. It's nobody else's business. I'm a very private person. I don't like shining. I like to cover my light with a big bushel. With a big cover. You're a loud guy. I'm not. Can I let you into a shock? I was the most quiet, timid child I've ever seen in a church, apart from this young lady, in all my days. I'm telling you, my mum used to forget to feed me at home. She never heard from me. I'd be under a table playing quietly. I was quiet, I was timid, I was shy. But I assure you, when a fire begins to burn, you have to tell somebody, he's real, he's alive, he's changed me. Saints, I used to tremble at the thought of opening my mouth. But you know what? It so burned with me. I went, man, this is going to kill me if I don't tell someone. Jeremiah the prophet. He said, I'm tired of the persecution, tired of the trouble, tired of the ridicule, tired of the mocking, tired of the rejection, tired of the suffering. You know what? Lord, I'm not going to speak your word anymore. Then he said, but his word was shut up in my bones as a fire, and I had to speak. It burned in my bones. It's so much a part of me. Even though I got discouraged, I said, man, I'm shutting my mouth. Man, I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody that I've been born again by the grace and the mercy of God. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. And listen, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does the spirit do? When your spirit made alive, it begins to be a light shining in you. And it begins to search all of your inward parts. If you're born again, the light that's in you begins to shine onto your thoughts. And it begins to shine onto your motives and your attitude and your conscience. Everything starts to become illuminated. Have you ever tried to hide anything in a lit up room? When everything's light, the lights are on and you're trying to hide something. Easy to hide in darkness. I'm talking about a born again person. That light begins to shine. And you know what? God uses the spirit to begin searching the heart. God uses your spirit, your new spirit, to convict you of sin or to guide you or to lead you or to speak to you. It says in Romans that we dealt with last week, the spirit itself also witnesses with our spirit, saying you're born again. You're a child of God. Notice the spirit doesn't witness to our mind. Oh, I'm trying to work out if I'm born again. I know he saved me, but I'm trying to get the witness in my brain and my thoughts. You're going to have problems. I'm trying to feel that I'm saved. I'm trying to feel like I'm okay. You're going to have problems. It says the spirit witnesses with our spirit and says amen. Do you know this thing of a spirit is a remarkable thing? You can sense things. You're led by the Spirit. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're led by the Holy Spirit. I've looked at this over the years. Lots of things. Saints, I don't know what I'm going to preach all year long. I'm scared to stop and think about it. I just keep preaching, keep saying, you keep pouring in, I'll keep pouring out. It never seems to come to an end, thank God. The day it does, I'll stand here like a dumb man. But I don't want to think about it. You know what I'm doing? I'm just being led by the Spirit. There's an intuition. How do you know who to go to pray for during School of Christ? Well, it's my spirit. Go pray for them. Go pray for them. Go lay hands on them. I'm not just aimlessly doing that. I'm telling you at one point, there was someone I wasn't going to pray for. I made a decision in my mind. All of a sudden, you go pray for them, lay hands on them. They're filled back there. And they said, I have been struggling, wrestling. Am I baptized in the Holy Ghost? I said, well, you certainly are today, aren't you? You certainly are. You say, I want to wait until after the teaching, after the questions. Thirdly and lastly, a new heart. You're a new creature. It's a new beginning. It's a new spirit. But it's also a new heart. Lastly, in Ezekiel 11 verse 19, I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. On the day that you're born again, God does heart surgery on you. He takes out of you your old heart. A heart that you've always had. Your heart gets changed. Your flesh remains. But the old heart gets taken out of you. What is it? It's a heart of stone. What does that mean? It's a heart that's hard. It's cold. And it's dead. There's no life in it. Jeremiah says the old heart is desperately wicked. Never say the new heart is desperately wicked. It's not. The old heart, the natural heart of man, it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's impossible. But what does God do? God says, you know what I'm going to do when I save you and when I birth you and the Holy Spirit comes and creates a new creature. You know what I'm going to do? First thing, I'm going to take the old heart out of you. It's a hard heart. It's a stubborn heart. It's a rebellious heart. Won't be after you get born again. I mean one experience with God and you go, I want to obey Him. I love Him. And this is what God does, is do surgery and He takes out your old heart of stone. Listen to me what the new heart is like. In Jeremiah 24:7, it's a heart to know God. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord and they shall be my people. This is the first great mark. What does the new heart look like? I know God. Yeah. On the day I'm saved, He gives me a new heart to know Him. I mean, not to know religion. You know, I've met lots of religious people. They don't care about God. Or a relationship. They say, yes, I do this. Yes, I'll go to church. Yes, I'll do this. Yes, I try. Oh, yes, I believe that. What about knowing God? The new heart says, all I want to do is know God. I love Him. As well, it goes further. In Ezekiel 11:19, he says, I will give them one heart. So it's also one heart. The word one means united heart. Not a heart going in two different directions. God's going to give you a heart that says, I'm united. I'm going in one direction. It's also a heart to love God. In Deuteronomy 30:6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. What does that mean? He's going to take a scalpel and cut off the flesh in around your heart. He's going to start cutting away the flesh. Yeah. And he says, then will I give you a heart to love me. How is he going to give you a heart that loves you? He's going to cut away that flesh. I assure you. Also, we read in Matthew chapter 5 from Jesus, it's a pure heart. In other words, a clean heart. In Jeremiah 32:4, it's a heart to fear God. Listen to what he says. I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. Do you want to walk away from God? Do you want to stray from Him? Do you want to wander off? Do you know what the cure is? I will put my fear in your heart. This is at the beginning. He says, I will put my fear within you. Do you want a cure for backsliding? It's the fear of God. Do you know what you do? You say, oh God, you said you'd so put your fear in my heart. This is the new birth. This is the born again experience. We can say, oh God, you saved me. You burst something in me. Saints, if he done it once, he can do it 10,000 times. Anything that's grown dim can come alive by the power of the Spirit of God. It's also a heart of flesh in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? It's soft, it's sensitive, it can feel hurt. It has feelings. Psalm 40 verse 8, it's a heart with the law of God written in it. No longer just trying to keep the law of God, it's written in your heart. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And in Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law into your inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. You do have, when you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ. You get a new, brand new spirit. You're made alive. It becomes light within you. And you are given a new heart that desires to know God. I want to know him. Who birthed that within you? Man, I'm going to try to make myself desire to know God. To love God. To obey God. To fear God. Man, this is killing me. You know why? You're trying to do it by the flesh. By your old religious ways, you're in the flesh. Saints, it's by faith and by grace we go in prayer. And we say, oh God, revive this heart of mine. Stir it again. Make it to burn with the holy fire. Desiring you, longing for you. The evidence of the new birth is a new life, a new heart, and a new spirit. It does have a quickening ray of life. And it's the creation of the Spirit of God. It's not something you earn. It's not something you grow into. We're not talking about maturity. We're not talking about sanctification. I'm talking about a new creature in Christ. Oh, I'm not finished yet. Oh, I have a struggle with my flesh. But I've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. I know that I'm a new creature. I'm not just a flesh pot. I'm not just of this world. I don't just desire the things of this world, but I desire the person of Jesus Christ. Here this morning, are you born again? Have you experienced a second birth? Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you have new faculties of desiring him? Saints, if you ever backslide from God, you're going to have to come right back to him again. Repent again. Come through the blood and say, Lord, create within me a right spirit. There are sins of the spirit, not just of the flesh. Will you defile your spirit? And you'll need that spirit enlivened, revived, restored again. And God will make that heart all over again. It's by his grace and his mercy. This is the basic Christian. Let's stand here together. Thank you, Jesus.